How's it going, Yankee fans? Welcome back to Fireside Yankees with your boys, Alex and Ryan. Today, we're talking about three infielders the Yankees could look to acquire, whether it be through free agency or rather trade. There's two guys here that we'd have to acquire via trade from the Tigers and the Athletics. But right now, we're looking at DJ LeMahieu and saying to ourselves, well, how long is he going to be out? Significant bone bruise on his right foot. He fouled a ball off his foot a couple days ago, and Aaron Boone seemed to be a little bit concerned about it. There's definitely a little bit of concern that he could miss opening day, which is in less than 10 days. So right now, I think we have to think to ourselves, well, should they be looking to get some more out infield support? Where should they be looking? How much is it going to cost? And then obviously, Oswald Peraza going down too doesn't make things any better. So Ryan, before we dive into three players the Yankees could look, cheaper alternatives, cheaper options, how you doing today, my friend?
I'm doing great. You know, obviously, right now, the Yankees' infield's in flux because of the injury to LeMahieu. We don't know the extent of the injury. We do know that x-rays came back clean, so we know there's no bone fracture or anything of the sort. But it could get, like, it could not heal the way the Yankees would hope it does. The progression of that injury, you know, when he starts doing baseball activities again, that'll all factor into whether he's ready on opening day or not. It seems to be more of a question for opening day because of the fact that it's just so close to opening day. Right now, we're, what, nine days away? So there's not a lot of time between now and when they go to Houston. And they're also traveling to Mexico beforehand. So I'm not sure if LeMahieu will make that trip with the team or not. Because he was supposed to originally be on that travel roster to go play the Red Devils of Diablos Rojo, something, I'm pretty sure that's the exact wording for that. But with that being said, the Yankees needed infield help. And I think the first guy that kind of stands out is Donovan Solano because he only costs money. And in the Yankee, in our Yankee brains, only costing money, not costing draft compensation, not costing prospects, not costing picks, that feels like a no-brainer. The Yankees have so much money. Who cares? This and that. And I'm of the camp that I don't really care about spending Hal's money. It's not my money, and I don't have to, you know, I'm not going to be like, oh, but I want Hal to have a couple of million more to buy a new yacht. Like, I don't really care about that. But from an organizational standpoint, Brian Cashman does have to care about that. And unfortunately, he can't just do what I do, which is just pretend that it doesn't matter. And I don't know if the Yankees are going to go out and pay whatever Solano's looking for, number one, or number two, I don't know if he's ready for opening day. And you need someone who can play opening day for third base play third base for you on opening day. It's a novelty, and it's a nice idea to just throw Donovan Solano and what he did last year at third base on March 28th against the Houston Astros in Houston. But that's not how build-up works. That's not how getting ready for the regular season works. And that's definitely a question here. You know, what if he gets off to a super slow start and he's just awful? Would you rather just go out and get a guy who's already played through spring training, stuff of that nature? Now, could you argue that the Yankees were that's malpractice on the Yankees' end to not have acquired a backup infielder with enough time for them to build up in spring training? Sure, I don't think that's a bad thing to say. They did try to get Amed Rosario. They did try to get Kike Hernandez. Perhaps they valued both of them higher than Donovan Solano. Do I agree with that evaluation? Perhaps not, but I think an interesting nugget that people ignored was that Jack Curry mentioned the Yankees would like an infielder who can play shortstop, and Donovan Solano can't really play shortstop, and we're going to get into some of the other options on the list, and it's not that these guys can't play shortstop, but I do wonder if that's going to play a role in the Yankees' decision to pick up an infielder or not. Personally, I think Cabrera playing shortstop is okay because Volpe is so young that I just don't envision Anthony Volpe getting hurt, and you could always go to Vivas if needed because he played some shortstop. I wonder how much shortstop experience he'll get in AAA. I think the time he has in AAA, that being Vivas, will give him enough time to either play the position number one, or number two, just get ready for a potential major league role. If you look at the AAA depth chart, you have like Caleb Durbin, you have Jalen, who could start there. He did end in AA. It's possible he could start there again. You have Jordan Vivas, but there's not like a certified, locked-in shortstop. They've chained away Trey Sweeney. That was him. He was the backup. He was the guy who was supposed to be the shortstop at AAA this year. So that kind of threw a wrench into plans. I wonder if they're going to just kind of let Durbin and Vivas split time there. They could also play third and second. Durbin can actually play the outfield as well. So internally, at least, I think you just need to find a guy. You just need one of those two guys to emerge at some point. It won't be on opening day, but in Solano's case, he just kind of gives you an option. And he's a good hitter. He's a good player. I just don't know if he's ready for opening day.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, for the Yankees right now, it does seem to me that if they don't get anybody. They just sent down Yorbit Vivas yesterday, right? That was the guy that we said probably had a 50-50 shot to make this team. Clearly, he fell into the category of not making this team the 50% shot. But Vivas we like. As a 23-year-old prospect, come from the Dodgers, Yankees probably want to work on a couple things, get him up to speed. He's still relatively new to this organization. And I think during the season, if anything were to happen, I wouldn't be surprised if Vivas got an opportunity to showcase what he's got, especially if he hits well in AAA. He did struggle a little bit once he was promoted to AAA last year, but he dominated AA. So we'd love to see that. Just needs a little bit more time to adjust, but I think he's well on his way to being a player for the Yankees in the future. He may end up supplementing or replacing Oswald Peraza altogether based on his injury concerns. But, you know, let's talk about, I know Brian Hoke of MLB.com suggested yesterday that maybe the Yankees could look to the Tigers and say, hey, like, we want Gio Urshela. I kind of wish they would have acquired Urshela in free agency. Worst case, you could have just cut him for next to nothing. I don't think they're paying him anything at all. They signed him to a 1 year, $1.5 million deal. Like, you know, why not? You know, it's so cheap. He's been with the Yankees. He's a high batting average guy, 32 years old. Now, important to note, he only played 62 games last year. I think he fractured his pelvis. But he was hitting about .300 with a .329 OBP. He's not a slugger. We all know what Urshela brings to the table. Good defense, if not great defense, and good enough offensive contributions where you can say him as a depth piece is a value grab to me. In spring training, he's hitting .314 with a .314 OBP, with a .343 slugging rate, has 3 RBIs over 12 games and 35 plate appearances. Not bad. I know his 75 WRC plus doesn't, you know, raise any eyebrows, but he's a good defensive player. High batting average guy. He's a depth piece after all. I think he's fine. He would essentially be like the Trent Grisham of the infield, like a gold glove caliber defensive player on the hot corner. You know, he can play second base and shortstop if you desperately need him to. And, you know, I mean, I'd even say he's better than Trent Grisham in terms of his batting average. So, you know, what are your thoughts on maybe the Yankees sending a low-level prospect? They're saying that, you know, the Tigers may go with their younger third baseman and Gio Urshela may not even make the team. Maybe the Yankees just wait to see if he gets cut. Maybe the Yankees just wait to see if, like, some guy shakes free and they can pick him up for next to nothing. But is there a reason to believe that there could be interest in bringing in Urshela via a trade and basically giving away like nothing to acquire him? They know what he brings to the table and he's familiar playing in the Bronx.
Yeah, so for all the reasons you mentioned, it just makes sense, right? Like the Yankees wouldn't, in practice, wouldn't have to give up much. Now, the Tigers did sign him, and I'm not exactly sure what the rules are for signing and then trading a player, which could create some. I mean, I wonder, I could look it up, but that requires a lot of keyboard typing that is not going to be good on the mic. I'll look at that a little bit later in the episode. But it kind of, for on the surface, as you mentioned, he shouldn't cost much in a trade. Andy Ibañez has kind of run away with the third base job in Tiger spring training. I mean, Yankee fans should be familiar with that because he hit 3 home runs against us in like 5 games we played, or no, in like 3 matchups against the Tigers, which is a little bit weird. Like in spring training, having like a Yankee killer, that's a little bit weird. That's a little odd. It's a little infuriating too. Anyways, but like he's having a great spring. He's like a decent defender at third base and he can play some second. And they obviously have Colt Keith, the extended great young infield prospect, could really do some things this year. I don't really know what their game plan is at shortstop. I'm not saying they have a bad one. I just don't know what they have Javier Baez, but like, I mean, they're locked. They're forced to play him, kind of. So I don't think they're going to move off of him. And then Torkelson, you know, I think he's actually pretty good first baseman. He'll stay there. DH spot, Kerry Carpenter's a great hitter. He's phenomenal. So there's just not, like, room for Gio Urshela to like, play every day if Andy Ibañez won the job. Now, granted, guys can get hurt. Like, tomorrow, Andy Ibañez could take a foul ball off his foot. We're talking about LeMahieu, right? Like, LeMahieu was completely fine, and then he fouls off a ball off his foot. Things happen, or he could take something off his hand, right? He could tweak something. Things can happen, and I'm sure that the Tigers thinking to themselves, it's not a bad thing to have an abundance of quality infielders, especially considering that offense was a huge problem for them last year, and it has been for the last few years. They've run out some historically awful, you know, lineups. But at the end of the day, like if the Yankees maybe entice him with something, I don't know. The one thing I will say is that he doesn't play shortstop, kind of like Solano, so kind of like, I don't know. It's interesting because if you ask me who I think the Yankees will get, the answer is I don't think we know who. Like, we won't know who. They'll get some guy that you were like, really? They were going to get? He was available? I didn't even know. Kind of like when they went out and got Verdugo. Not that they weren't linked to Verdugo, but it kind of happened out of nowhere. Like, I got a Pisan notification, saw the Yankees have agreed to it, and I'm thinking, oh, we just got Juan Soto. Oh, it's Alex Verdugo. You know what I mean? My first thought was that maybe the Yankees were getting Verdugo instead of Soto, but that would have been a little bit That would have been awful. Like, that would have just, no. We wouldn't be talking about the Yankees right now, probably. We would be ranting about them. But anywho, as it pertains to Urshela, he makes sense. I don't know if the Giants are the Tigers are necessarily inclined to trade him. I don't know if the Tigers think, I mean, he's also only $1.5 million. The same way that, like, it would have been cheap for us that got him. Why not have a $1.5 million utility infielder? If you call up a guy from the minor league level, it's $770,000 for the minimum payroll. You're really going to trade him to save $770,000? And if you get a player from the Yankees that helps you at the major league level, it's probably a guy who's making around like, you're trading him to, like, not even save money. You're just trading him to trade him. And I don't even know if you're allowed to do that. So it's a fun hypothetical. It makes sense. Like, the fit makes sense. He can play third. As you mentioned, he's comfortable here. I just don't know, like, I just don't know if the logistics behind it makes sense. It's a roster fit, but not like a logistical fit. And that might be what complicates things.
Absolutely, that definitely does make sense to me. And I know you've been a big proponent of Donovan Solano for quite a while. I'm curious to get your thoughts on what his price tag might be. This is probably the best option for the Yankees in terms of offensive upside. He's been an above average hitter for the better part of five straight seasons. Hit .282 last year with a .369 OBP. He is 36 years old, so a little bit older. But like, this is what the Yankees should have brought in Josh Donaldson to do. To be their primary backup, not to be their primary starter at 37. Donovan Solano as your backup is a great option. Like, that's luxury. You know, like, having him as your backup infielder is a luxury item. What kind of cost do you think it would be for the Yankees to go get him? Because I know that they're clearly not wanting to spend a lot of money. We know that they're above the $300 million luxury tax threshold, meaning any contract they sign now comes with 110% tax. So if they signed Donovan to a $10 million deal, you're looking at a $21 million luxury tax hit. So certainly a bit of a concern there, but where do you think the price range lands for Donovan, and do you think it's realistic for the Yankees?
So for Solano, like, the price tag, I mean, even right now, like, what can he realistically ask for? He probably just wants a job. Like, it's not like he's 37. He's 36, 37. Like, he wants to play. These are his last couple years where he'll be an effective major leaguer. In fact, this last year could have been his last year as an effective major leaguer. We saw the fall off happen like this, right? Like, Donaldson, 120 WRC plus with the Twins, comes over to the Yankees, gone. It's over. His career is over. Like, he just wasn't good anymore. So from his perspective, you want that to happen quick. You want to make your money. It's better to have $1 or $2 million than to not have $1 or $2 million. Now, granted, he could also think to himself, maybe I don't want to go through another season. I've made enough money in my career. Maybe I'm not really that committed to playing. If I want to play, maybe I want to just play every day. I don't really want to sit on the bench. You know, I don't know. Maybe that's kind of holding it back for him. There could be other teams that are involved. He's also, again, not built up for the regular season right now. So from the Yankees' perspective, it's, okay, we sign you, but by the time we need you, LeMahieu should be back. And by the time, like, LeMahieu, we're not talking about 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, a month, as of right now. I mean, it's the Yankees, so knock on wood. It could be more serious than what they think. But, I mean, it could probably be one or two games. And that's kind of where, you know, the Yankees, and then they need to be able to be on the bench for the rest of the year. And they need to be someone who can provide value off the bench. You know, we kind of talk about, like, LeMahieu. What is his role going to be in the future when he's older and the Yankees have a better third baseman or whatever it may be? Like, he makes sense for a bench role because he can play different positions. He's like he's a competent enough pinch hitter. He's a late game substitution. Like, Solano isn't the defender LeMahieu is. So in a bench role, he's not a late game sub. He's a pinch hitter or just a guy you outright start. And he doesn't really provide speed either. And Peraza did. So maybe you're looking for speed. That's why, again, I think he might be more inclined for a shortstop. Kind of like some guy I wanted to just throw out there that I think could have been could be an interesting guy is Abraham Toro. And that's not because I think he's like good, but because he's going to cost nothing. And look, I know that I just mentioned, like, what is the Tigers' opportunity? Like, what are the Tigers losing by cutting, you know, what are they losing by cutting Urshela? Well, the A's actually have something to gain by getting rid of Abraham Toro. They brought in J.D. Davis on a $2 million deal. He will be the starting third baseman. Zach Geloff is their starting second baseman. He's a rookie phenom. He played really well last year. Abraham Toro is a switch hitter who is on their bench, and he's making about $1 million. I think he's actually making more than Urshela. I think he's making he's only making $1.3 million. He's making $1.3 million in arbitration to sit on their bench. The A's are cheap. You give them, I mean, you just give them an opportunity to save $1.3 million. They cut back. I mean, that's 3% of their payroll, roughly, right? Like, it's a good chunk of money for them. If you can cut the Yankees' payroll by 3%, what the equivalent of that would be, the Yankees would do it. If the Yankees could just save like $6 million or $7 million, or I mean, think of what 3% of the Yankee payroll is. It's like, what, $300 million? It's like 10 times that. Could you imagine if the Yankees could just save $10 million? They would do that in a heartbeat, you know? So from the A's perspective, I think it makes sense. You know, I don't know what the timeline is for a guy like Aledmys Diaz, who they brought in last year and is on the team. And he's likely to begin the year on the injured list, but he could be a guy who they just say, all right, he'll be back soon. We'll trade Toro. Toro's the switch hitter. He can pull the ball in the air. The A's could potentially just get him to hit from the left-handed side and pull balls in the air and just hit to right field and hit some home runs. He's got an okay major league career. He's not a great hitter. Career 79 WRC plus is not good. I'd kind of liken him to a guy like Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, who I think we can agree would not have been a bad player if he was a reserve infielder. Like, if the Yankees could just pluck Isaiah Kiner-Falefa for like $1 million and throw them on their bench to be a shortstop, second base, third baseman, that actually would be ideal. Unfortunately, he's making $7.5 million, and there's no way I would pay $7.5 million for Isaiah Kiner-Falefa off the bench, but they just need a guy who can play some defense. He's played second, he's played third, he's actually played a little bit of first, that being Toro. He's also played a little bit of outfield, so I don't know if the Yankees would try that, but he's technically played out there. Plus 4 DRS at third, minus 3 at second, so not a great defender there, and he's about league average at first base. I think he could just help you. Now, again, he doesn't play shortstop, so will the Yankees go that route? I don't know. The Yankees, I mean, they don't need a superstar there. You're not going to find a superstar to be your bench infield. You just need somebody who's better than Kevin Smith and Jemiah Jones, which is a pretty low bar to cross.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. Toro, as you mentioned, switch hitter, you know, he's fine. It's, I wish IKF was a reserve. He would have been a great reserve for the Yankees, and, you know, especially as an infielder, maybe not an outfielder, but unfortunately, you know, he goes over to the Jays, and, you know, the Yankees left to figure things out with a limited market. But Toro, like you said, he's nothing special. He played 9 games last year for Milwaukee. I mean, he hit, what, .444, the .524. The sample size is too small to actually make any generalizations. Has always been a below average hitter beyond that, but does have the qualities to play second base and third base because he's a switch hitter. A little bit more value there. He's only 27, and the team would have control over him until 2027. So maybe the Yankees try to get a little bit more value out of him. Maybe they find ways to maximize his tools. So definitely an option. All these guys are either, you know, for Donovan Solano, it's going to be money. For Urshela, low-level prospect. For Toro, probably a low-level prospect. Nothing that serious. But I think the Yankees are probably waiting until more roster cuts happen around the league so they can go scoop up one of these very, very cheap alternatives that maybe just doesn't make another team. So we'll see how that goes. You know, there are going to be some solutions, but, you know, it depends on how much they really want to give away for it, if anything. But guys, always happy to hear your thoughts below in the YouTube comments section. Make sure to like and subscribe as always, and we'll catch you guys on the next Fireside Yankees episode.